Second reading, the Gospel reading is the Holy Gospel according to St. John 7:1-6 and 37-44. Praise and glory to God. Jesus goes to the Festival of Tabernacles. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers did not believe him." Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do." On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, according to the book of Leviticus, there are seven feasts that the Israelites were told to celebrate. By now, the Jewish calendar has a few additional feasts, such as Hanukkah, which commemorates the rededication of the temple in 164 BC, and a few others more. But in Leviticus, there were only seven feasts that were specified. The first feast is actually the weekly Sabbath, when the Israelites should cease from their work and hold an assembly. After that, there are three feasts, which all have become joined together in one big feast, normally known as the Passover, but it's actually the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. One of those commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. The others are related to the rhythms of the agricultural year, when the old stored grain and bread is nearing its end and the new harvest season begins, particularly the grain harvest. After that comes the Feast of Weeks, or more frequently known by the Greek name Pentecost. So that's the feast that concludes the grain harvest. So Pentecost is originally a harvest festival, but then, of course, later on it became the commemoration of the Spirit's coming. The next feast mentioned in Leviticus is the Feast of Trumpets. At that Feast of Trumpets, when the trumpets were blown and the farmers of Israel got another holiday and were asked to come to a sacred assembly. In modern Judaism, that is known as Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, but that's actually a more recent development. The significance of the Feast of Trumpets is not quite clear, but it mainly seems to have been a preparation for the following feast, the Day of Atonement, which was 10 days later. The Day of Atonement was when Israel remembered its sins and remembered to seek forgiveness. As part of this, there was also the ceremony of the two goats, one to be sacrificed on an altar, and on the other one, the sin of the people should be laid and it was driven out into the wilderness. It seems that the Day of Atonement was a very significant day in the life of ancient Israel. Certainly it is in Judaism today. In Israel, it is one of the most significant public holidays when the whole country practically stands still and you certainly can't get any public transport. And then we come to the last of the festivals, the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Festival of Booths. That's just 5 days after the Day of Atonement. So you've got a month there which is very busy with festivals. It would be our October, November probably. It's referred to several times in the Bible, and the one common theme throughout is that the Feast of Tabernacles is another harvest festival, but this time for the autumn harvest. That is, in particular, the late fig harvest, the date harvest, the pomegranate harvest, the olive harvest, and the grape harvest. New wine, that is partially fermented wine, was a common drink at the Feast of Tabernacles and apparently still is so. So, in a sense, this Feast of Tabernacles is most closely resembles our harvest festival because, of course, it's in the Northern Hemisphere, and often in our harvest festival we celebrate the late harvest with our pumpkins and so on. Another aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles was living in booths or tabernacles. And those were those temporary structures made out of branches. That somehow seems to be an odd tradition to live in those temporary structures. But actually in the context of ancient Israel, it was quite common, because people would actually live in these temporary structures in the orchards, which at times were at some distance from the villages. There they would protect the ripening fruit from animals and any other unwanted attention, and they would later on camp out in the field during the harvest and the initial processing of grapes and olives before bringing the harvest back into the village. This way of harvesting actually endured in the Holy Land until the middle of the 20th century. One tradition that also endured was that it was often groups of older girls who camped out in the vineyards together for some time, and of course that custom gave rise to all sorts of stories. It was probably later on that the Feast of Tabernacles also had the additional meaning that we hear in the text from Leviticus, namely to remind people that their ancestors lived in booths or tents on the way from Egypt. So through this, the festival has both the harvest and the remembrance aspect. So, well, that's a list of all the festivals, but what's very important, I think, is that three main festivals in ancient Israel were actually associated with the harvest. One at the beginning of the grain harvest, one at the end of the grain harvest, and one at the end of the grape and olive harvest. That is a lot of harvest festivals. And the main thing the Israelites were to do on this festivals were to cease from work, to meet together, and to bring something from the harvest to the temple or to the holy place. And they were told to rejoice and be happy, and now please. Well, it was the whole intent of those festivals that there was a joyful attitude. And at the base of it all was thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, so to say. The thankfulness is like a thread that runs through the Bible and also the practice of Jews and Christians alike. In ancient Israel, this thankfulness was tied up very closely with the agricultural year. After all, agriculture and the growing of produce was so much part of their lives back then. Now, I think even today in our urban setting, thankfulness for the produce that our little gardens may produce, or maybe the remembrance of a garden that produced quite a bit, that is special to us. Through the process of growth and maturation, we receive something that is beyond our full control. We get something that we are not fully entitled to. While we can do our part, there's always something uncontrollable in growing crops. But of course, in our society, many of us are somewhat removed from farming and gardening. Our gardens do not determine so much what we eat and how we live. There are a lot of other factors that influence our lives. I think that therefore this whole outlook of thankfulness needs to show itself throughout our lives. We need to realize that we are not the self-made man or woman. We have received much, first of all from God, but also from the people around us. Even if we have suffered much, even if others have treated us unfairly, even then there are things we can be thankful for. And as many of you know, this thankfulness flows through our lives, affecting how we experience the world around us and how we interact with others. A life of thankfulness also rubs off on others. Now, I think I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. A few years ago, just a few months apart, I met two elderly women, first one and then the other. Both of them said that they had a good life, that they had experienced much. They had children, good friends, had traveled, and now they were old and their movements were limited. They could no longer travel. They didn't see their friends and children as often as before. They had medical problems. One woman told me that her life was hell now. She missed all that she had been able to do, and it was just not fair. Well, the rest home staff knew her constant complaining and disappointment, and as a result, they tried to avoid her. The other woman told me that she was thankful for the good life that God had given her, that God allowed her to do so much. She looked back on her life with gratitude. Now that she was no longer able to do much, she was thankful for the small things in life. So that attitude was quite different, and it rubbed off on all who interacted with one or the other of these women. As Christians, of course, we are not just thankful for our circumstances. Our gratitude is firstly expressed to God, who orders things well and who gives us gifts beyond reckoning. Now, I want to touch on the gospel reading because our gospel reading also refers to the Feast of Tabernacles. It was common to go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this festival. And this is a photo of a road in Galilee. So Jesus' brothers invited Jesus to come with them to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival there. They suggested that this may be a great opportunity for Jesus to be noticed by more people, not just to be active in the small villages of Galilee, well, you know, that's the backwaters, no, come to Jerusalem. But becoming a celebrated figure in Judea was not really the reason for Jesus' ministry. So he declined his brother's invitation and stayed in Galilee. But he did go to the feast in Jerusalem after all, arriving about halfway through the festival. He began to teach in the temple there. But there was a bit of controversy about his teaching. That's described in the verses we skipped in our reading today. And then on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." John adds that by this Jesus meant the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to remember that Jesus said this on the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Jews were giving thanks for God's provision in their life. And yet, Jesus said that there is more, that the thirst in human hearts is not quelled by being thankful for the good things of this earth, good though they may be. Rather, Jesus said God is offering more through him, through Jesus. God will satisfy our longings through Jesus Christ, and even more, God gives us the Holy Spirit through whom our faith overflows as a blessing to others. The Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts, kindling the light of faith in us and then bringing that faith to expression in love and faithfulness. The Holy Spirit is a comforter and guide, changing our lives so that the love and faithfulness in Jesus Christ also dwells in us. And so as we come in thankfulness for this harvest festival, Let us be thankful for the provision of God throughout our lives, but more so for the gifts of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, through whom God gives us the fullness of life. Amen.